You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
We are a community of students and leaders who we believe that God has brought together for the purpose of connecting with Him, connecting with others, and then connecting others with Him as well. So I want you to know, students, that HSM is a place to belong for every single person in this room. But that also means that HSM is a place for every student who's not in this room yet. That HSM is also for your teammates and your classmates and your neighbors, because Jesus came to save not just you, not just the person sitting next to you, but He came to save everyone. And as we think about that, I want you to know that I've started to pray three specific things for HSM. As I think about this summer and this next semester and this next school year, I've started to pray three things. Number one, I pray that HSM becomes a home for you, another home, one where through the community you experience and grow in God's love for you. And the second thing I've started to pray is that this home is so full of hope and grace and growth and love that you are consistently bringing your friends, especially those who don't know Jesus, here to HSM so they can experience God too. And the third thing that I've been praying is that HSM would be a community that is taking more and more seriously reading the Bible consistently on a weekly and eventually daily basis. And you may be wondering, okay, well, why the Bible? Why is that so important to me? Why have I started praying that for HSM? Well, the Bible is one of the biggest ways that God has revealed Himself to the world. That the God of the universe, He wants to make Himself known because He wants to have a relationship with us. And I don't want you to miss that powerful truth. God is perfect. He is all powerful. He's in control. And He thought creating the world was a good idea. And so He did it. And then that God of the universe thought about you and thought creating you would be a good idea. And so He did that. And then He chose you. Even when we didn't choose God, He chose us to be forgiven of all of our sins, of all of our shortcomings, all of the ways that we fail and mess up and rebel and disobey God. And He lets us, through Jesus, become a part of His family if we only place our trust in Him. And because that truth is such good news, I don't want any of us to miss that. And one of the primary ways that God has revealed Himself to the world is through His Word. That's your first fill-in-the-blank note. We'd encourage you to take notes every time we're opening up the Bible here at HSM, because we want you to have even more intentional life group discussions right after this. The Bible is an ancient work. Maybe some of you are thinking, but the Bible is kind of old. Like, is this even relevant to me? The Bible is an ancient work, but it's not an outdated work. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 speaks of the Bible and says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." When you open up your Bible, you will find that it's not irrelevant, that it's actually really not boring at all, but it actually speaks to our soul because the Bible shows us who God is. It points us to our Creator, our Maker, our Savior, and our hope. And as I've been preparing for this message tonight, I feel like God really put it on my heart that there may be somebody here, a student, who's wondering where God is. That maybe you feel like God is up in the clouds, that he is distant, that he doesn't care, that there's no way he could know the things going on in the world, and therefore he doesn't know the pain and suffering that I'm going through in my own life. And if that is you tonight, I feel like the Lord was asking me to just say, please, open up your Bible. God is not distant. He wants to be near to you, and he's revealed himself in a really long love letter to all of us. He's not far. He's waiting to reveal himself even more to you. And so this summer, HSM is going to continue prioritizing opening up God's word together. Our sermon series, as Jazzy and Gavin shared with us, is called Summer in the Psalms. And we're spending every Wednesday that we're together studying the book of Psalms. And I invite you to take your Bibles now and open up to the book of Psalms. And if you don't have a Bible, please come talk to us. We have one for you. And the book of Psalms is in about the middle of your Bible, and it's pretty easy to find because it's one of the longest books of the Bible. And I just want to share a little trick with you. If you are wanting to become more familiar with how your Bible is laid out, start to figure out whether a book of the Bible is before or after the Psalms. Because the Psalms are like, it's like such a big book. You'll find it really easily. And if you're looking for the Gospel of Matthew, for instance, you can open up your Bible, find the Psalms, and you're like, oh, the Gospel of Matthew is in the New Testament, so I'll turn to the right. Just a little trick if you want to become more familiar with how your Bible is laid out. Now, as you have turned to the Psalms and Psalm chapter 1, we need to get to know this entire book. If we're going to be studying this all summer, we got to get a big picture of what it's all about. So the Psalms is a book in the Old Testament. And the Bible, maybe you've heard this before, the Bible is a collection of 66 books. So it's one book, the Bible, filled with many books. And one way that might be helpful for you to think about that is to think about the Bible as a library. You could think about, okay, in this library, there's only one library, but it's filled with many books. And the books might be related to each other. There might be an overall theme to each of the books, but each of them brings something unique to the whole library. So that means the books of the Bible can fit into genres. Everyone say genre. Or categories or types of books. So think about genres of music, right? We've got pop, there's worship, country, there's rap. Right? There's the early 2000s, right? Okay, the books of the Bible also have genres, and people divide them into different areas like the law, or some people refer to it as narrative and history, so stories. There's poetry and wisdom. There's prophecy, which does mean predicting the future, but it also means sharing something insightful about the current times. There's the Gospels, which relay the life and ministry of Jesus. There are the epistles, or the letters to the early church. And then there's the genre of apocalypse. And the Psalms, if you can see in this photo, they fall under the genre of poetry and wisdom. And that helps set our expectations for this book, right? Because think about poetry. You can anticipate that the Psalms are going to be full of imagery, that they're going to use a lot of metaphors and similes to make comparisons for us, that this book is going to be full of poems and songs and beautiful prayers to God. And if you kind of start to flip through the Psalms, you'll notice that some of the Psalms have an author. David wrote a lot of the Psalms, along with Asaph, the sons of Korah, and other worship leaders of Israel. But about a third of the Psalms, which is a big chunk of them, are totally anonymous. And if you look at Psalm 1 in most of your Bibles, something that comes before it is something that says Book 1. And you'll find that the entire book of Psalms, all 150 of them, are divided in and of themselves into five books. And so tonight, we're going to get to know these 150 Psalms. And that kind of sounds like a lot, right? It is. So I think a better place for us to start is by looking at the bookends. Because individual psalms are meaningful and impactful, but you can also view them, just like any book of the Bible, as an entire book and trace the common themes and overall direction of it. So let's flip to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look at the first psalms and then the very last psalm and see what themes we can find. So find me in Psalm chapter 1. Scripture says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." The foundation, the starting point of the entire book of Psalms is a picture of what a righteous person looks like. And I want us to take a couple of moments right now to highlight or underline in your Bibles or write it on your sermon notes, write down all of the qualities of a righteous or blessed person. Right now, take a few moments, read Psalm 1 again, and highlight and underline all the qualities of a righteous or blessed person. And as we study this and we see the qualities of someone who is blessed, of someone who is righteous, here's what I feel like the Lord was showing me in my time with him. That if we long to be a person, if we could go to the slide with the, yes, perfect. If you long to be a person who is marked by peace instead of worry, steadfastness instead of chaos, blessing instead of emptiness, and righteousness instead of wickedness, then you need to be cautious of where you sit and plant yourself. That's what I feel like is so clear in Psalm chapter 1, that if you want to be a righteous person, if you long to be that person who is like a tree planted by streams of water, then you cannot plant yourself in the company of those who do wicked things. And I think sometimes we plant ourselves in the presence of those things more than we think. A few weeks ago at our worship night, Ryder, who just graduated from HSM, was up here and he challenged us, he challenged me, stop listening to explicit music. That sometimes we might not be thinking about it, but we're consuming and putting into our ears things that are not actually pointing us to Jesus, but pointing us away from him. That maybe there is someone in your life who you are so quick to take their advice or to do what they say, and but you know in your heart that they're not actually pointing you towards the Lord. And I want to note that I think there's a difference here between like knowing people who like do wicked things and having the letting them have the strongest influence on you. Because I think the answer is not to just have no part with somebody who does things that don't point you to Jesus. Because A, that's impossible. Scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus commands us to live among the lost. We are sinful ourselves, and how can we share the good news of Jesus if we're not in relationships with people who don't know him, right? I think the deeper question is, who are the people in your life who you let have the strongest influence on you? Are those people who sit at Jesus' feet? are those people who are like the tree planted by the streams of living water. And instead of planting ourselves and sitting in the company of things that are going to point us away from Jesus, we are called to instead plant ourselves near God, near the water. And how do we do that? By meditating on his law, verse 2, the word. And to meditate not only means to prayerfully read it, but it actually means to obey it, to live out what we read and what we believe. And in verse 2, Psalm chapter 1 refers to the law. And in the original Hebrew that this was written in, that word is Torah. Everyone say Torah. Torah. So you might have heard it said too as the Torah, and it kind of has two meanings. It does refer to the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where God gives his law to his people that is referred to as the Torah. But Torah in the Hebrew simply means teaching. So we are called to meditate on all the teachings of God found throughout his word. That's why it's so important that we are consistently reading our Bibles. And what's encouraging too is Psalm chapter 1 tells us that it actually becomes a delight to meditate on God's word. That it's not a chore. It's not just one more thing that you have to put onto your to-do list. But it's a delight because it connects us to God, who is the true source of joy. And there's also, I think, an additional blessing here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 6, where it says that the Lord watches over the way of the righteous person. I feel like this is so beautiful because it suggests like a deeper intimacy with the Lord as we spend time with him. Because having someone watch over you, I'm thinking like Ben right now is sitting with his kids, Jeremiah, and that's Priscilla. Ben's watching over them. That is so sweet, right? Like a parent can only watch over his child if he cares about his children, if he's near to them, if he loves him. And that's kind of this picture that we get in Psalm 1, that as we plant ourselves near Jesus, as we seek him and walk in his ways, that he is watching over us and taking care of us. That's the invitation in Psalm chapter 1. And it offers a foundational theme for the entire book of Psalms. It's your next fill-in. God's people are called to be prayerful and faithful people. That we are called to walk in righteousness, which means to live rightly with God and with others. And Psalm chapter 2 continues this introductory theme. And if you turn to Psalm 2, starting in verse 10, Scripture says, "Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling." And skip to the end of verse 12. "Blessed are all who take refuge in him." The second psalm in this introduction to the whole book, it's speaking directly to kings. And in kings, if you think about a kingdom, they should be the most powerful person there, right? They should be the most superior. But Scripture instructs them to not only serve themselves, but in order to be a wise leader, to actually prioritize serving the Lord. That's where true wisdom comes from, by serving him and trusting and obeying God. And we only know how to do that when we meditate on his word. These are the opening themes for the whole book of Psalms. And I hope that you notice that both of these psalms talked about blessings. Psalm chapter 1 said, "Blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of the wicked, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord." And Psalm chapter 2 said, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him, all who find safety and comfort in him." Because when we choose to do those things, to be who God is calling us to be by being prayerful and faithful and planting ourselves near him, life becomes a journey, an adventure of getting to know God better and letting him transform us from the inside out. And the very last psalm gives us a picture of the ultimate destination of that journey. That Psalm chapter 150 shows us where the life of a blessed and righteous person leads. And if you turn to Psalm 150, this is what scripture reads. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tremble and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Knowing God, truly knowing God in our hearts, just as Psalm 1 and 2 invites us to do, it will always lead to our praise of him. That is the natural response. When you experience something so beautiful and so powerful and so loving, you will naturally break out in praise. That's what we were made for and designed for. And Psalm 150 declares that everything that has breath should praise the Lord. In our summer serve team, we were talking about how it's almost like we have breath for a reason. We are made to use it to praise the Lord because God is worthy of all of our praise. And I'm so excited that this summer we get to adventure through all of the Psalms. And as we do that, that is our destination, that we would come to a place that we would learn what it means to praise him. And I'm warning us now that it's not going to be an entirely easy journey. Because as we get to know God more through his word and try to follow him, the reality is that we will mess up, that we will sin, and that we will also be hurt by other people. And that we will also naturally experience the brokenness of this world on this side of eternity. And that means that this life comes with very real pain, struggles, confusion, and doubts. And as we will see together, most of the Psalms are actually not Psalms of praise, they're Psalms of lament. And lament means a deep cry of sorrow and grief to the Lord. And we'll go through that journey together. But we will also see that whether it's psalms of praise or psalms of lament, that the whole time, no matter what, God's presence never, ever leaves his people. And he remains worthy of praise all the days of our lives, no matter what we face. I think in a very fitting, poetic way, the first two psalms are an invitation for us to meditate on God's word. To learn the ways of a righteous person, to get to know the Lord and serve him with our whole lives. And then we know the end result from the last psalm will be everything that has breath praising the Lord. And because of that, I can think of no better way than for HSM to start this series with a commitment to read, meditate, and obey God's word. And on all of your chairs, as you came in, we have a Summer in the Psalms Bible reading plan. And this reading plan will allow you to read the entire book of Psalms in 60 days. So you could do that this summer. And it will allow you to dig deeper into everything that we discuss at HSM together. And here is your special Summer in the Psalms HSM challenge. If you complete this challenge, okay, and that includes inviting an adult leader supporter and a student supporter to help keep you accountable, if you complete this Bible reading plan before fall kickoff, which is scheduled for September 11th, then all you need to do is tell me or Gavin, and we will schedule something fun to do with you so that we can celebrate your commitment to being in God's word. And we want to hear everything that God has taught you as you've meditated on his word. So that is your Summer in the Psalms Bible reading challenge. And the point of this is that, again, we are planting ourselves near the living water by meditating on God's word. And this challenge with me and Gavin that we would love to celebrate you and hear what God has taught you is only good for this summer. So we hope that you would take the Summer in the Psalms reading challenge with us. HSM, it's already an awesome summer. So let's commit to loving and serving God and each other, inviting others to join us, and reading and delighting in God's word together. Sound good? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that because you love us and you created us, that we can begin and end our lives in praise, that everything starts and ends with praising you because you are worthy of it. And Lord, I pray that this summer, HSM would take more and more seriously reading your word consistently. And I pray that in this room and with those who couldn't join us yet but will be with us next time, that you would put it on their hearts to take this Summer in the Psalms Bible reading challenge, and that when we get to the fall, we just get to celebrate everything that you've taught us as we've chosen to open up your word. We love you so much, Lord, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, HSM, we are going to head to our life groups. If you are brand new tonight and you don't know where your life group is meeting, come up to the stage. I'd love to take you there. And freshmen, if you would just stay in this room, if you would come up to the first few rows, just gonna show you where your life group is meeting. We love you, HSM. We will see you after life groups.